free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Klaus Rasmussen is a long-term sales executive in the film industry with a special knowledge of animation. His expertise in international distribution, production, and development for film and TV is based on his passion for storytelling and international collaboration. During his time at Global Screen, most recently as co-head international sales and acquisitions, Klaus was, among other films, responsible for many successful releases of animation films. We talked to him via video call for this interview. Klaus Rasmussen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. We'll be talking about animation, specifically the animation genre in Germany. But first things first, how did you start working with animation films?
Good question. Since I'm Danish, I started in distribution and sales back in Copenhagen. And then I came to Germany in, it was 2006, and worked for Bavaria Film International. And they didn't have any animation. It was more art house films. And then after 6 years, Bavaria, the international division, merged with the international division of Telepool, also another film company in Munich. And then together, Global Screen merged. And in Global Screen, from the Telepool side, they already had some bigger animation films. So that became part of the slate of Global Screen. And that's where I started to work with animation films.
Mm-hmm. Even though one might not think it on a first glance sometimes, but Germany does have a long tradition in animation. Initial films were produced even in the 1910s and 20s. There was director Lotte Reininger. She did a lot with like Scherenschnitt, paper cutting. However, I personally remember like late 1980s as a time where German animation started really to gain more traction. And before that, for the longest time, the market, well, maybe even after, was dominated by Disney and then later Japan and other Asian countries. You, as our expert, and I know this is a bit of a sweeping question, when and maybe also why, in your opinion, did the genre start getting more popular in Germany again?
Well, I just assume, I mean, still, of course, Disney, Pixar, they are, of course, still very dominant in the animation market. But I assume that some clever German producer could see that this kind of genre really works well. And why not? Yeah. Why don't we go in and take part of this success? So a lot of very commercial animation films started to be being produced in Germany.
I think on top of that, it's important to take a realistic look at what making an animated movie or series entails in terms of time and budget. Can you maybe give us a bit of an insight, for example, when we talk about, let's say, an animated feature film, roughly what timeline are we looking at and approximately what amount of budget is involved?
Well, of course, it takes time to produce an animation film, also depending on how experience the animation production company is, because a lot of producers might think, oh, let's animation is doing really well, let's do that. But then they realize that it's much more complicated than they think. And then this might actually take a very, very long time to produce these films. So they're being always postponed, and which makes up a lot of trouble then later on when the movie is supposed to be ready, it's not ready and so on. But usually if it's a normal way of producing, I would say it takes usually around 3 years when you go really start the active production thing. And also as world sales, we start doing pre-sales already 2-3 years before the film is finished. You know?
Yeah.
And in terms of budget, you ask for budgets. It's of course much smaller in Europe. I mean, I think in Germany for the more commercial films, it's around between 8 and 15 million euro. Where of course in the US, the Pixar movies, they're like 100 and 200 million US dollars. You know, so yeah. But I think the Europeans really know. Well, the Germans really know how to get the best out of the budget they have, you know. So that's why it really looks great, even though the budget is so much smaller.
Mm-hmm. And in your sort of expertise and opinion, has the arrival of the streaming platforms been maybe a positive influence on the animation films and series production in regards to probably specifically budget?
Well, yes and no, you could say. I mean, I think there was a time, the golden times, Netflix really came up and stuff, and it really came running. Then they were really looking for animation, and they also invested a lot in some, at least in some German production, where they would put extra money in so that the budget could go higher and stuff. But I think lately what I hear and so is that they have they're more reluctant now to do that, you know, so it's been done less. I think they're more focused again on animation from the US, is my feeling. But at the same time, you also see that, for example, they take some chances with Guillermo del Toro, the big director. He did this Pinocchio, which was this like puppet animation, which is not the typical animation you would do. So in that way, you can also say that they have helped some different kinds of animation to get a big audience, which is positive.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do a little bit of a deep dive. If we take a closer look at, as you just mentioned, what the animation genre actually encompasses, it's not just obviously children's stories, but stories for grown-ups. And there's anime, there's stop motion, there's clay animation and more. In short, there's so many different kind of visuals animation films can use. Is that a creative spectrum that is well represented in Germany in your experience?
The majority of animation films, they are still the more commercial ones that we can know and can compare to Pixar and stuff, because at the end it's also very much still seen a little bit for children. I mean, most children, they start to go to the cinema and then they see animation films, you know. Yeah. And then that's why it's still seen a little bit like animation is for children, which of course is not true, you know, but it's just a different kind of animation you can do for adults. And, you know, and I think more and more are going into that field as well, which is very interesting. But I think it probably takes a few big hits to come to the market. Suddenly one film for an adult audience will really break through, and then, you know, they will help the next one and so on and so on. And also really more establish that genre for that audience, for the older audience. But yeah, you mentioned anime. I mean, of course, you can see that the Asian Japanese animation, that really has its audience here, the younger audience, which of course is great, you know, because they are hard to get into the cinema. It's, you know, the teenagers and young adult.
During the German separation, like the GDR, animation industry specialized in puppet films and series for children, such as the classic Der Sandmann. But that seems to have been lost because the DEFA Trickfilm Studio was closed down. Is there any indication this might come back with a new generation of creatives?
Well, I still think at the moment there's very little of that, yeah. You know. But who knows? Maybe sometimes new, fresh thing that are old, but, you know, being refreshed can be interesting, you know. And especially if you find some story where the puppets animation can fit well into it and maybe give it a special angle that is different. And then, of course, with the help maybe of with festivals or awards and stuff, you know, it can then be successful, you know. But it's not what we have most of in Germany, I would say.
Going back to numbers, animated films for children sell quite well and they travel extremely well. Do you think this is simply, but because their stories are so universal? And if that is the case, what does that mean for adult audience-focused animated movies?
Well, first of all, I think the advantage of animation is that it's very easy to dub, you know, into local language. And also with the lip thing, yeah, it's more easy. In the Czech Republic, if they see a German movie and it's with Czech language, it seems like it could be a Czech movie, you know, because most stories that are made in these animation films are many, many times universal, so that it's not specific German stories, you know. The animation, I mean, I'm again talking about the bigger animation films in Germany that are so successful. They are, I mean, from the beginning, they have been produced for Germany, but at the same time, very much for the international audience. Actually, more even for the international audience than for only Germany. And they also, when they do the animation, they already have English language from the beginning, you know, not German. And then they dub it into German, actually, at the end, you know.
Okay.
And they also, most of them... pretty much all of them are co-productions, you know, with majority out of Germany, but with a lot of other countries involved, you know, in order to get these high budgets, what you need to make a good proper animation film. it has built up over the years that the setup is very clever. I mean, they're coming out of Europe and getting their partners, and then with the majority coming out of Germany, but making it an international movie from day one, you know?
Mm-hmm. No matter which audience animated movies are made for, as you just mentioned, they can convey important ideas through visuals, metaphors, themes, and their imagery. Given the important impact that this, you know, genre can have, what would you say in your experience is the biggest misconception about the genre, other than that they're for children?
Yeah, but that is actually a very good point, this with the children thing, because it's good and it's bad, because you could say it's an advantage for animation that the very first film kids see is animation, and it makes a big impact on you as a child that you see these movies. But then, of course, most of these movies, they're for the audience, I would say, so 5 to 10 years old. So if a kid then becomes close to 10, they want to see more live action stuff, you know, they want to see Star Wars and stuff like that, because it's more for the grown ups, you know. Yeah. And then they maybe think, oh, animation is a little bit more for small children. But then again, it's just a matter of then making these movies that are more cool and for teenagers. I mean, you see more and more some countries that that also make, like, for teenagers, where they have like stand up comedians and it's more cool street language. And then, of course, you can grab this kind of audience as well, you know. So I just think it's a matter how you produce it.
Yeah.
And animation can so many more things. I mean, also it can be used in documentaries, you know, because sometimes if you want to show something, let's say something that's very a war or very bloody and stuff, then if it's almost you cannot really watch that, then if you have it in animation, it's a good way to show these things, even so that it doesn't get too extreme in your face, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about Waltz with Bashir,
for example, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Used very, very effectively, or totally different story and more comedy, I guess, if you could say that. Marjane Satrapi's film as well, that came from her comic. I mean, that was animated as well.
Yeah. I think it's always good to when you do animation that you see, why do we make this movie as an animation film? What is it? Why do we use this genre specific for this story? You know, and there should be a reason why you use animation, you know, so that it gives it a bigger value to the story.
Absolutely. Now I have a few. Sometimes I say rapid fire, but they don't have to be rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
Questions about you and your work. As you mentioned, you've been working as a sales executive for quite a few years. I guess you could say specializing in animation, but not only. What are the biggest changes that you've noticed in your work and in the industry in those years?
Well, definitely that it's in terms of distribution and stuff, it's getting tougher and tougher internationally. But one of the few genres that really work well is animation, because children all over the world, they like to go and see animation films,
yeah.
You know, so that's really an audience. So if you have the right movie that really can stand next to the big American ones, because they are the ones that you are competing with, you know, in order to get the audience in to see a movie. And a lot of these European films, German films I've been handling, they have been able to do that. And then they have been like released worldwide. I mean, many times we sold all over the world these movies, and they come into the cinema and big, well, top 10 box office. And of course, that's what you really want for a movie, you know, and that's what you can achieve with a good animation film, because it's so easy to adapt to the international market. And since children still, even also after the pandemic and stuff, really go still to the cinema, you know. And of course, many people have realized that. So more and more people want to go into animation. And as I said before, it's just something you can definitely tell the difference for an experienced animation production company, or if it's someone who just wants to go into it and really is not that experienced, because it takes a while to get there, to make these really high budget, and where you really can get the best out of this budget you have available here in Europe.
Yeah. What is your favorite? Maybe German, but not necessarily animation film or series, and why?
Ooh, it's a tough question. Let me put it that way, because now we've talked so much about children and animation. And so let me say, I was thinking the other day, the very first movie I actually saw as a child, because back then it was also very dominated by Disney. So my first movie was actually was Snow White. I mean, I remember I was being picked up from the kindergarten. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and then I went to see Snow White, and I was very impressed. Of course, it's very impressive as a child, the first time you see something on the big screen, you know. And this movie was really had a very strong impact on me. And I later found out it's produced in the 30s, this movie, late 30s, which is just incredible, you know, because I've seen it later again because some of my nieces had it on DVD later on. So I watched it once, and it really still is a story that's quite impacted. It's really well done. And I think that's also an advantage with animation. It doesn't really get old. I mean, you can always watch it again and again. It's kind of timeless, you know,
Yeah. If
it's well done, you know. Then again, for Germany, yeah, I mean, I worked a lot with Ulysses in Hamburg. They have great movies. Oops, Noah's Gone was a great movie. And also Nico, Flying Reindeer. And then also, yeah, I worked a lot with Telescope, who also have this The Last Whale Singer, which I haven't seen yet. I worked a long time with it, so I'm very curious to see it coming out in the screen now.
Yeah, I talked to Reza on Tuesday, actually.
Yeah, he must be excited now having it finally finished, because I've been working with that movie since the beginning, you know, with pre-sales and stuff. And when you work so long with a movie, it's really interesting to finally see it when it's done, you know.
And finally, can you tell us what you're currently working on or what is next for you?
Yeah, I'm kind of at the moment taking a little bit of break from international distribution.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, I've been working for the Berlinale, helping them to build up the EFM animation days. Now in February, Berlin will have a first time they will have a focus on animation.
Yeah.
So it will be over 3 days from 12th to 14th of February.
Mm-hmm.
The whole German industry will be there, and also the international animation industry. And there will be a lot of spotlights and pitches and so on and so on. I will also be moderating some pitches. Because I've been helping them finding some projects to be pitched there.
Yeah.
And these are projects where they are looking for either co-partners or world sales. And so the idea is to people come together and find partners at the Berlinale. I find that very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope you have good sessions and good pitches. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Klaus. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.